Welcome to episode 339 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm your host and producer, Josh Pollard.
And I'm your host, Richard Gunther, and this is the show where we talk about Microsoft entertainment technology, including audio, video gaming, and more across all Windows platforms.
You know, you say that we talk about it. I think we do more than just talk about Microsoft entertainment technology. We opine about Microsoft entertainment technology.
We speculate about Microsoft entertainment technology.
Yeah, a fair amount of speculation, although not as much speculation tonight. Mostly just straight up news.
Well, what fun is that?
Well, I guess. But we also have a little bit of listener feedback, so maybe we should get into that first. So we got a couple emails this week. If you'd like to send us a message, you can email us at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. First one, short and sweet and to the point. It's from Chris. He says, I was wondering if anyone out there would have a Remind Me plugin for Windows Media Center running on Windows Media Center 7.
Now, you replaced an article, so I want to talk about that in a little bit, but please go ahead.
So I think what he's looking for is a Media Center plugin where you can maybe attach it to some calendars and then get alerts to remind you about calendar appointments. That's what I assumed Chris meant. So I knew that there were plugins that did this in the past. It took me a little bit of digging, but I found one called Media Center Calendar Add-in. And it used to be on Ian Dixon's site, madeformediacenter.com, but that site's not around anymore, so that's why I took a lot of digging. But I found an article about the announcement for it over on thegreenbutton.tv. And I don't know if this still works, because I didn't install it on my machine today when I found this. But I do remember playing with these in the past, and it might still work. So we'll, of course, have a link to this in the show notes. I sent it on to Chris already, but I have not heard back from him yet to see if it worked out for him.
That's cool. See, I read his message quite literally. He said, if anybody still had the Remind Me plugin. Now, he didn't capitalize Remind Me, so I don't know if, in fact, that was a proper noun. But I wondered if there was a plugin at some point called Remind Me. And I do know of an old plugin called Remind Me for MCE, but
really?
I never used it.
Huh.
And it is as old as Windows Vista.
You know what? I just did a search for that, and you're right. I found an article talking about an app called Remind Me. Let's see if it has a link to the download in it. You would think that it would. Gosh, this is a long article with about a bajillion screenshots. And nope, it's from a site that's no longer available anymore. So that's probably the problem. So he's specifically looking for Remind Me, and I don't have that. And all of the sites that I went looking for, I was like, oh yeah, what about hack7mc.com or the htpc.net? Those places all had directories of plugins and stuff. All of those sites are gone.
Oh,
no one's doing this anymore. So I don't know. I guess gonna have to do a little bit more digging, or maybe this Media Center calendar add-in will work for him, because I did at least check to see if the download link in this thread still worked, and it does. So, you know, since Remind Me doesn't appear to be available anymore, maybe this one will get what he's looking for.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
All right. Well, our next message is from Steve, and he says, I saw a link to Sicbo PVR from Robert Herron's Twitter feed. Pretty slick UI, runs on Windows 10. I have it configured to use a USB ATSC tuner at the office on a Windows 10 PC. And he gave us a link to that, which we will include in the show notes for sure. I didn't even know of this, but it's pretty cool. What do you think, Josh?
You know, I didn't know about this either. I downloaded it to play around with it a little bit, but I don't have an over-the-air tuner hooked up to this PC right now, so I couldn't really do any TV stuff. It's an interesting little app. It's pretty. I liked the look of it. It's rather fancy. You know, I haven't used it with a remote yet, and since I can't actually record any TV with it, I can't really give many first impressions about it. But the overall design was nice. There was a section for adding video folders, which I figured would just index folders of other TV video content that I have. But that didn't work. So maybe that's not what it does. Maybe it's looking for specific video formats or something. But it does look pretty nice. And I do plan to pull the Hop Hog over the air tuner that I've got connected to my Xbox One over just to give this a little bit more of a try, because it is kind of interesting. I mean, it's fairly basic. You know, there's not a bajillion features like something like Plex or Kodi might have, but it looks like it probably does DVRing really well.
Do you know if it would work with network tuners? He says he's using it with a USB tuner. If it works with network tuners, that gives it a leg up on the upcoming Xbox functionality.
Well, you know, there's a big list of supported hardware on the site. I didn't look super closely to see if there were any networked tuners in there, but it doesn't support cable card tuners right now, I don't think. So
yeah, I wouldn't expect that necessarily, but maybe something like the HD Home Run Dual or something that is for over the air.
You know, actually, the HD Home Run tuners are listed as supported, so those would work.
Great.
But it doesn't say Prime, obviously, because it doesn't support cable card.
Right.
All right. Well, on to one more message. This one actually came in through Twitter from Steve. He says, I'm curious, is there any way to get free over-the-air electronic program guide data beyond the standard 12 hours that stations put over the air? I really don't want to pay. He didn't give a lot of details there on what he was trying to do, but through a further Twitter conversation with Steve, we found out he's using Next PVR, which will pull in guide data from the over-the-air channels, but like he said, it only gives it 12 hours at a time. There are other ways to pull in guide data into Next PVR. One of them will pull in the guide data from Windows Media Center, but I believe Steve was trying to do this on a Windows 10 box, so that source isn't going to work. And since he's in the US, really the only other option in the Next PVR wiki is to use Schedules Direct, and that's $25 a year, which he doesn't want to pay for. And I didn't really have an answer for him other than, well, now you understand why the HD Home Run DVR has a subscription price.
Right.
Because this guide data isn't free. You know, it's just something that we've been taking for granted for years as Windows Media Center users.
And this is really one of the reasons why products like TiVo and others that allow subscription to the service, even Zap to its data if you subscribe directly, there's a cost to it.
Right, exactly.
So this is the second message out of three that referenced they use the outdated term PVR, but a DVR, a digital video recording product that I wasn't tremendously familiar with. And you can read that to mean at all. Do you know about this product?
I don't know much about it. I might have played with it a long time ago, but I haven't played with it anytime recently. I've recently looked at some of these because I've gotten questions from other people asking, you know, if I move into Windows 10, but I still want to be able to DVR stuff on my PC, what are my options now that Media Center's gone? And Next PVR is one of them, because there really aren't many. That's maybe one of the better ones. There's J River Media Center, of course, and Media Portal. Is that the other one I'm thinking of? But I don't really like the looks of any of those, so it'd be hard for me to recommend any of those. But Next PVR does seem like a pretty full-featured app if you're trying to find a solution for your Windows 10 box. But if you're not on Windows 10, I still don't think that any of these really beat Windows Media Center.
And this one in particular seems very Windows Media Center-like in terms of its overall user experience. And I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely. That's why we're Media Center fans. All right. Well, why don't we move on to some news? And unfortunately, we have to start with some bad news this week. If you're a Comcast customer and you've been using the Comcast Xfinity app on your Xbox 360, well, I hope you haven't been too attached to it, because in a couple weeks, it's going away. September 1st, it's gone. It won't work anymore. And you're not really going to have any other options than to use your Comcast set-top box or maybe their tablet apps, but it's just not going to work on your Xbox 360. And maybe you'd gotten used to using that for watching on-demand TV and movies from Comcast. It always seemed like a really useful app. Obviously, I've not used it since I don't have Comcast where I live, but it always seemed like a pretty useful app for Comcast customers. The only real response that we've seen from Comcast was a quote from them where they said, "We're removing this to make way for new updates and improvements to our online experience for customers," which doesn't really make sense.
Well, see, I think it does make sense. I don't think that I like it. It seems like they probably shouldn't get rid of this until they have a replacement for it. But we know that Comcast has been working on a streaming service of their own. They've made a lot of news about this new service, and they've tried to make a big splash with it. So perhaps they're trying to drive customers to that product, and it is unclear right now whether there would be an interface for it on the Xbox or whether you would have to use your Xfinity box to use it. If the intent is that at some point in time they're going to come out with this new streaming service and also have a client for it on the Xbox, then maybe it's not so bad.
Yeah, as long as they release that client like right away. But right now we don't even have an Xbox One app from Comcast, and the Xbox One has been out for, you know, we're getting close to the 2 year mark. So I don't know. If they release something September 1st, then I guess we won't have much to complain about. But this seems like a pretty downer of a story if you're using this on your Xbox 360.
Yeah, I agree. Again, I think this explains why there hasn't been an Xbox One app. Because if the intent is they're moving to this new platform, and in theory, you can use this without even having video service from them, then it really points to them coming out with something new for all platforms.
Well, Sickerese in the chat links us to the Xfinity.com/Comcast streaming site and says that Comcast Stream is only going to be broadcast networks and HBO, which is completely different from what this Xfinity app on the Xbox 360 is giving you. So,
well, yeah.
Oh.
But this is what you always wanted anyway, isn't it? It's Comcastic.
And with that, we should move on to the next story. And that is, I guess, some good news. A sale on movies and TV content. That's always a good thing. This is from the Microsoft Movies and TV service, or if you're in the UK, Microsoft Film and TV. I don't know if you knew that, but the app has a different name in the UK than it does here.
What?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but it does. So,
well, it may not be ridiculous. I mean, there could be a really good reason for it. It could be like calling. Never mind. But it could be like they use different common words in the English language for things than we do.
Oh, sure. Or because it's Microsoft, it could just not make any sense at all. So there's some interesting deals in here. Most of these movies are under $10 if you want to purchase them digitally. They've typically got them in SD and HD. The ones that I saw in there that piqued my interest, although I didn't actually buy any of these yet, Selma's in there. The first two Taken movies, Interstellar's on sale, How to Train Your Dragon 2, which is fantastic. Prometheus is in there, and most, if not all, of the X-Men movies, along with a whole bunch of other things, plus a bunch of TV shows, all on sale if you'd like to buy them from Microsoft and watch them on all of your different Microsoft devices.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Vudu is also having a summer sale. and Voodoo works on more platforms than Microsoft does.
That's a good suggestion.
I mean, I would have absolutely zero interest, given the state of Microsoft's current video ecosystem, of ever buying a movie from Microsoft.
Okay, I think that's fair. Voodoo is pretty much the place to go for this stuff right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, we started off this segment with some bad news for Xbox 360 users, but here's some good news. If you have an Xbox 360 and you've been wanting to run Plex on it, but you didn't want to pay for a Plex pass, well, you're in luck, because there's a new update to the Plex app on 360 and it doesn't require Plex pass anymore. That is like the major feature of this new update. There's more features, but that was the one that was like put in bold in the release notes. So pretty big deal.
That's a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You can do this completely for free now on your 360. It still requires the Plex pass on the Xbox One, so hopefully that's going to change soon, but who knows. Like I said, that's not the only change to this new version. They've improved the music experience. They've added cinema trailers and extras. They've also added full support for play queues and playlist. So all good news if you're looking to use Plex on your Xbox 360.
And this isn't specific to Microsoft platforms, but if you're a Plex user, we didn't really cover this, but in the last week or so, they also completely redid the iOS app for watching Plex content. So that's the, you know, they're doing a lot of cool stuff right now.
Richard, did you ever get Plex running in your home?
No, I absolutely did. I just can't watch most of anything because my Drobo can't transcode it. So yeah, the answer to your question, which I think you meant to ask, was did I ever actually install Plex on a real server? And the answer to that one is no, not yet.
Okay. Well, so you really need to get on that.
I know.
All right. So let's move on to just a little bit of gaming news this week. If you are a diehard Xbox and Windows 10 fan, then you may have seen late last week a post up on Reddit showing you how to hack your Windows 10 machine to allow really, really high performance streaming from your Xbox One. Well, you don't need to do that registry hack and all that stuff anymore, because now the Xbox app for Windows 10 has been updated, and now it supports that super high res. It's actually called very high for your level of performance in the streaming app. You can just open the app, go to settings, go to game streaming, and there's a new option called very high. Now, and this supposedly supports 1080p video at 60 frames per second. So you better have a good network connection. As long as it's all wired, you know, if you've got a gigabit Ethernet connection running around your house, I think this ought to work just fine. But I unfortunately haven't had a chance to try this out on my own machine yet, but that's great news if you're looking to do some streaming straight to your Windows 10 PC. Just don't try and do it over wireless.
Cool. Now, as a resident digital hoarder, it's my duty to remind people that they can now freely download the second Xbox 360 Games with Gold game for the month of August. And that is Metro Last Light, and this is a really visually interesting game, but I don't know anything about the game itself. I mean, the images on the site about the game look really cool. It is presumably in a post-apocalyptic Moscow, I believe.
Sure. I've never actually played the Metro games, but they've always reviewed well. That's your safest bet for the current Games with Gold. Because there is a new title available on Xbox One, and that's that How to Survive Storm Warning game, which we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The title doesn't tell you at all, but it's a zombie game. I might download it and check it out, but I don't have high expectations for that. Whereas I know Metro Last Light is a great game if you're into first-person shooters.
Cool.
All right, so on the mobile front, we finally, after, it must have been a month and a half without a release, we now have a new release of Windows 10 Mobile. You know, that's the Windows 10 version for phones. We're now up to build number 10512. Richard, have you had a chance to check this out?
Well, I actually haven't taken any of the insider builds for my Windows phone because initially I heard that they were so problematic. I know they got better. This, from reading through the notes for this release, seems like it's pretty much nothing. I mean, there's maybe a dozen really, really minor tweaks and fixes in this thing.
Yeah, I mean, they say there's over 2,000 fixes. And the last release number was a number much smaller than 10512. So I believe it that there's a ton of fixes, but you're right. In terms of new features, there's not a lot here. It's mostly a stability release. I unfortunately also haven't gotten a chance to play with this yet. Although, you know, I keep hearing such good things about these releases that it has me considering throwing it on my 1520, but maybe not just yet.
Yeah.
Because there are still some issues, but I think most of them wouldn't be an issue for me. But if you are considering putting Windows 10 Mobile on a phone, one thing that I've read a lot from a lot of different sources is go ahead and do this, but plan to, you know, do the upgrade and then wipe the phone and you're going to have a much better experience. And that's a lot more effort because now you got to go in and install all your apps again. And that can take a little while. So I might wait another release or so. I mean, hopefully we're going to get back into the fast release cycle again and see, you know, even more polished and less buggy releases. And maybe it'll end up on my 1520 soon.
So do you have any interest in buying a new flagship Lumia or one to be coming out soon?
You know, that's something I've been considering a lot. And, you know, we've seen some leaked specs and stuff. And honestly, until this last week, I had kind of been thinking that I might not be interested in upgrading to this fall's new phones. You know, we've seen that they would have two versions, you know, one with a roughly 5-inch screen and one with a 5.7-inch screen. They're going to be super high res and, you know, faster processors and more RAM and stuff like that. But most of that, when I hear that, I think, yeah, that's going to mean less battery life. And I really, really love the battery life of my 1520. They'll, of course, support Continuum, which is a really cool feature, just not a feature that I think I'll use a lot. But The Verge had a post this week about that showed leaked images of what they're calling the Lumia 950 XL, the XL being the 5.7-inch version. And there was one thing that they put in there that I hadn't heard before that did make me interested in getting this phone. And that's that apparently the XL, which is the one that I would want now that I'm used to these giant screens on the 1520, the XL is supposed to support pens. And I think that would be really nice to have on a big, huge screen like that. Basically, you're thinking Galaxy Note, you know, in the Android space as pens. You know, if they've got a nice slick way of storing the pen so that you're not going to lose it and so that it doesn't add a whole bunch of bulk and heft to it, I might actually be interested in that.
Hmm.
You don't like big phones.
Well, yeah. A, I don't like big phones. B, I'm tired of 2-paragraph Verge posts that barely say anything. I really need to learn that skill. And C, I think it's time for a Lumia industrial redesign. And this phone looks like more of the same thing that we've seen for the last 4 years.
Well, it's possible that this phone was not in anything resembling a finalized case, too. It is just a prototype in these images.
That's true.
So they could have just thrown a really simple case around it just to be able to test the hardware itself and the new operating system on it. And maybe we will get some sort of different design. But, you know, I still really like the Lumia design. I like the polycarbonate cases. They're pretty durable. You know, I do drop my phones occasionally, and I've never put cases on them. I hate putting cases on phones, and they've always withstood that really, really well. I've never broken a phone by dropping it. And like I said,
you just so never should have said that.
I know. Probably going to destroy this thing tomorrow now. So I guess follow me on Twitter to hear the details of my impending phone destruction. But so far, so good. And I've had a lot of these Lumias.
Yeah, I just think, you know, this has to compete. But, you know, this is their flagship. So they are competing, given their time frame, with the iPhone 6S and with the Galaxy 6S, right? I mean, these phones are the phones that are coming out soon are what this is going to compete with. And I just feel like they both offer a much slicker overall look and feel. And granted, we don't have our hands on this, but just from these pictures, I'm not impressed. And they need to impress. They need to come out with a device that knocks people's socks off.
I guess they need to do that if they're going to get higher market penetration. Like, they need to do that for what reason?
They need to do that if this platform is going to succeed. I don't believe that Microsoft will continue to support this platform if they can't grow it and if the market share continues to decline the way that it has over the last year. They have to increase market share, or this just doesn't make financial sense.
Hmm. All right.
That's my opinion.
I'm just not convinced that it has to make financial sense. They could keep putting out Windows Mobile and lose money on it the whole time, and it still serves some purpose.
It serves less of a purpose when they make most, if not all, of the services available on that device also available to other platforms.
True. I don't know.
So anyway, I mean, don't get me wrong. I want them to succeed on this, and that's why this is frustrating to me. I want to see something really cool.
You still won't buy it.
Well, yeah, there's that. I mean, but that's a different issue. That's a corporate compatibility thing.
That's true. All right. Well, that's probably enough. There was our speculation. That was it. That was the speculation for episode 339. That also does it for the news for episode 339. So let's get into what may be, for a lot of people, the most fun part of the show, where we talk about what's going on in our entertainment centers. And as usual, let's start with you, Richard.
Well, I went on an unplanned road trip this weekend. I was supposed to fly to Pittsburgh, and that flight is supposed to take an hour. Now, I did, in fact, sit on that plane for an hour, but we never left the gate.
Ouch.
This weekend, there was a problem with air traffic control systems on the East Coast, and in the New York and DC areas, a lot of flights are grounded, and mine was one of them.
Lucky you.
Lucky me. Luckily for me, I had plenty of lead time before when I needed to be there, and I had driven to the airport. So I got off the plane, got in my car, and drove to Pittsburgh, and thought, you know what? This would be the perfect time for me to listen to the audiobook for Ready Player One. My best friend and college roommate had purchased this book for me because we both grew up in the 80s. There were a lot of 80s references in this book. He thought I would really enjoy it. And I've really only gotten about a chapter or two into it. And I thought, okay, this would be the perfect opportunity for it because I'm caught up on all my podcasts. So let's hit this on this long road trip. And the gods were conspiring against me because it just was not possible for me to gain access to any of the digital copies of this that I owned, either online or on my device. It simply wasn't going to happen. So instead, I decided to listen to The Martian, which is an Audible book. Well, I mean, it's a book, and I had the Audible version that I had purchased a long time ago. Have I mentioned that I subscribe to Audible because I'm a digital hoarder? And yeah, we talked about that last week.
It sounds familiar.
So The Martian is one of the books in my library, and this is a perfect time to listen to it. I have 5 hours in the car, and so I started listening to that, and it was really good.
It's so good.
And then halfway into my trip, I stop and take a break and I come back to the car and nothing in the car will recognize my phone. The Bluetooth won't recognize the phone. The audio in won't recognize the phone. The connector won't recognize the phone. Nothing will allow me to listen to the content from my phone for the rest of the trip.
Oh, no.
And I ended up listening to radio.
Radio?
For the rest of the trip. And I was so cranky by the time I got there, I can't even tell you.
Did you reboot your car?
I did. I tried, but it did not work. Now, the next morning, miraculously, everything worked again. Thankfully, I listened to another 5 hours of The Martian. I ended up listening to it for another 2 hours while I was cleaning my deck on the back of my house. And then finally a couple more hours yesterday to finish it off. Man, was that amazing.
Mm-hmm. I told you. That's
wow.
Yeah, that's a really, really good book.
Yeah, it was so, so good. There were times, and you know, I've tipped my hat before that I can get overly emotional while I'm watching media or listening to stuff. There were times I was tearing up about stuff that was just so friggin' cool, what was going on. And I can't wait. This is going to be a movie, and I can't wait to see how that comes out. I hope they don't screw it up. I really hope they don't screw it up. It's Matt Damon, so there's a good chance they won't screw it up, but I'm really looking forward to this.
Definitely.
All right, so on the TV, I was a little bit behind on Mr. Robot, so I caught up. And holy crap.
That, my exact reaction. You have to be talking about episode 8.
Actually, the last scene of the last two episodes
yes,
were both just pivotal, drop your jaw, holy crap scenes. So well done.
But especially the last one.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I had a coworker who watched it the night that it was on. I didn't watch it until this weekend. And he said, I'm not going to tell you anything, but after watching this most recent episode, which isn't the end of the season, we still have two more episodes to go.
Right.
I want to go back and rewatch the entire season.
Right. Right.
It's that kind of game changing moment. Like it is, it was such an amazing way to end just an episode. It's not even the season finale. It's really, really good.
Yeah, fantastic. So that just continues to get better, which is hard to believe. And that's pretty much it for TV for me, except for the usual stuff, Tyrant, Big Brother, blah, blah, blah. So my podcast pick, because I think it's my turn,
yep.
And I don't think I've talked about this one before, but one of my favorite podcasts, people are going to think that I listen to a lot of news on my podcasts. And when I think about it, I kind of do, because this is the way that I get news now. I don't watch the news. I don't listen to news radio, although people who do should absolutely listen to me when I'm on syndicated radio shows. But I have this one show that I like from NPR called Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And it is a radio news quiz game show. So basically, it's a panel of comedians or news, like writers for different papers and stuff like that. You know, they have Paula Poundstone and Bobcat Goldthwait and just all these, this crazy collection of different panelists that cycle in and out. And they ask them questions about the news, and then people call in and they ask them questions about the news. And it is so funny. I am always laughing out loud every episode when I'm listening to this. It's every Saturday. It's actually recorded and then played on Saturday mornings, I believe, on the radio. And then they put the podcast out Saturday afternoon. Highly recommended. And this was actually something that I heard so many other people talking about. So I started listening and I love it.
Yeah, this was a show that I used to listen to years ago. I don't anymore. I'm not really sure why. Maybe just because I continue to get further and further away from comedies in my life. But yeah, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a fantastic podcast. I used to listen to this with Jen. Like this was one of the few podcasts that she would listen to with me in the car. Because it is really funny.
I've done the same. Absolutely. I've listened to this with Jen too. Oh, wait. No, that's not what I meant.
Huh. I'm going to have to talk to her about that after the show. All right. So for me, I also obviously got caught up on Mr. Robot and was blown away. I also, people who've been listening to the show from, you know, pretty much the beginning might remember that I am a huge, huge fan of the show Heroes, which is obviously no longer on. It's been off the air since 2011. I love the whole thing. I'm a total fanboy of Heroes. I loved the whole series. So I was obviously really, really excited when I heard Heroes Reborn was a new series coming. It starts in less than a little over a month. It starts in September. But what I found last week or maybe the week before was that they had put out a 45-minute episode that sort of gets you from the previous seasons and show to the new one. And they made it available for free. It's on Amazon now, but initially I could only find it on Microsoft's video platform. And so that's where I watched it. And it's, you know, if you're into Heroes, you should watch this because A, it's free and it ends up being pretty good. It starts a little slow. So don't give up if you do get into it and you're, you know, 10, 15 minutes in and thinking, oh my gosh, going to move on. It picks up. It's really good. Absolutely worth the time. And we'll get you ready for the new series starting, I believe it's September 24th. I don't know. It's some Thursday in September. I also, Friday night, went and saw the movie Straight Outta Compton. You know, cool. I was a teenager in the 90s. I loved West Coast rap in the 90s. You know, I grew up listening to Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and Tupac and, you know, all of that music really came from NWA, and this movie, it was really good. Like, I'm not saying that this is going to win awards or anything like that, but, you know, I figured it'd be an interesting movie, but, you know, no big deal. And when I saw that it was 2.5 hours long, I actually got a little worried thinking there's no way they can make this movie 2.5 hours long and make it interesting. But it was, you know, I never felt like it was too long. If you were into the music of that era, then I think you're probably going to like this movie. Now, is it worth paying all of the money to go and see it in theaters? Probably not. But, you know, I figured, you know, a lot of times when I wait for movies to come out on video, I just don't end up seeing them ever. And I knew if I wanted to see it, this was the time and the way to do it. So I did, and I really enjoyed it.
That's cool. You know, this is one... What you just said, that you forget to go watch it, is one thing that we've kind of lost with our move to digital online content. And that is that for people who had Netflix DVD subscriptions, Netflix, when a movie came out, would immediately add that movie to their system so that you could go ahead and save in your queue a placeholder for that movie when it became available.
Right.
And so it would automatically get added to your queue and then automatically get shipped to you as you worked your way through your queue. Digital content doesn't work that way. We have no idea when it's going to come out. And there is no concept of reserving the digital edition before it's available.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. That was an awesome feature of the Netflix disc-based service. I never subscribed to the disc-based service, but yeah, I had friends who did that all the time. And always thought that was a great way to keep up on movies like that. All right, so related to Straight Outta Compton, I'm going to go musical here. It tied to this movie's release, there's also a big album that's been released, and that's an album called Compton by Dr. Dre. This is his first album since he released 2001. You know, so, you know, 15 years for a rap legend. And he was always phenomenal. So I really wanted to listen to this, but right now it's only available through Apple Music and through iTunes. I didn't want to buy it. You know, I'm a Spotify kind of guy. I don't buy things unless I really, really, really love them. Just wanted to listen to it. So a coworker said, why don't you sign up for the Apple Music trial? You don't have to pay anything and you can cancel before you would have to pay for it. So I did that. Of course, that meant downloading iTunes. And, oh my gosh, iTunes is such a friggin' disaster. People are always complaining about iTunes, but I haven't even used iTunes in years.
So, you thought I was just spewing opinions.
I figured there was no way it could actually be this bad, but it really is. So, you know, I download iTunes, I sign up for Apple Music, and then I want to listen to Compton. So I click on Store in the iTunes section, and there's Compton. It's right there. It's featured on the front page. I click it, and it says, do you want to buy this? No, I have Apple Music. I would just like to stream it for free, please. And you can't. And I had to ask you how to do this. You helped me out on Twitter today to figure this out. You have to actually search for it. You can't go to the store. You have to either go to the My Music or whatever. I think it's called For You or something like that. And music selections from things that you might like show up in there. But I didn't select any rap when I was talking about my preferences. So it didn't show up in there. So then I did search and found it. And from there, I could play it. It's so dumb. Like, it took me 10 minutes of trying to find it on my own and then giving up and resorting to Twitter to be able to figure out how to use iTunes to play Apple Music licensed music. It's ridiculous.
Yep. Yep, it is. It is so bad. And, you know, you it's funny. You were trying to figure out, just in your discussion there, you were trying to remember what section the music is in, the Apple Music is in. It's, you'd think, maybe in a section called Apple Music. No, nope. No, it's not. It's in either a section called For You or a section called New. And then from there, you have to search for whatever it was you wanted. If you have a My Music folder because you have music and you added stuff from Apple Music, it doesn't show up there. What? Jim Dalrymple, a well-known Apple pundit and big, you know, big access to the music scene, went very public a couple weeks ago, and Fortune covered this, where he basically called this a toxic hell stew. And I think that is like the perfect word. This is just such a mess. And good grief, I wish Apple would do something about this.
Well, I'm not going to deal with this much longer because iTunes is going to be getting uninstalled soon, which kind of leads me to my very short review of this album from Dr. Dre. It's just okay. Maybe I had too high expectations considering, you know, what Dr. Dre has done in the past. But this new Compton album, it's not that great. Like, there isn't a single song on there where I'm like, yes, this is the song that I want to listen to over and over and over again.
Oh, wow.
There's nothing like that on this album. It's, you know, there are some aspects to it that are nice, and it's not that it's a bad album. It's just not really anything special. And if you're looking for a lot of tracks where Dr. Dre is actually doing the rapping on, you're out of luck, because he does almost no rapping on this album. It's mostly just him producing it with other people featured as the singers. And there's some good ones on there. You know, Snoop Dogg is on there for a couple of tracks. Eminem is on a track. You know, there's a lot of other people that maybe if I still actively listen to rap, I might recognize, but I don't. So yeah, it's just okay. So I'm going to be uninstalling iTunes fairly soon. And, you know, if I want to listen to this again, hopefully it's going to show up on Spotify when the album officially releases this coming Friday. I don't know if it will, though, because of his, you know, the fact that he owns Beats, and Beats Music got bought by Apple, and, you know, Spotify doesn't even have his old albums like The Chronic. So this new one might not ever end up on Spotify either, and I probably won't actually be that disappointed.
So the only reason that you did the iTunes thing is because this is exclusive right now?
Yep.
Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah, so I'll be uninstalling very soon, and I don't know that I will have ever been happier to uninstall a piece of software than I will be to uninstall iTunes.
I think many people have probably uttered that statement.
Probably.
All right, well, that is it for what's going on in our entertainment centers. Before we wrap up, a quick announcement that I'm going to be on Pop Tech Radio again this coming weekend, talking about Lutron's wireless lighting system, about a lot of the updates that have come to the Harmony Home and Harmony Ultimate lines recently. And they've teased me about the possibility of talking about the Amazon job situation. I'm not convinced that I really want to talk about that, but should be some interesting discussion. So check that out, poptechradio.com, a couple days after it's live, otherwise on affiliate stations around the country on Saturday or Sunday, depending on your market.
Cool. All right. Well, if you'd like to get a hold of us, there's a lot of different ways you can do that. We're on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. And the website is at Digi Media Zone. That's D-I-G-I Media Zone. We're on Facebook. You can like us over there at facebook.com/the DMZ. We're also on Google Plus, along with that Windows Media Center community that we started, I don't know, years ago. You can send us a message via email at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. And of course, we've got some other podcasts, including The End User. They're back.
Woohoo!
They're finally back from their summer break. You know, they actually missed an episode because of Windows 10. So it's not really because of Windows 10. It's because Chris didn't do something correct. But they're back this week covering the latest tech news from the end user perspective. And then, of course, there's Richard's other show, Home On, covering home automation and control news. What's with the latest Home On, Richard?
Yeah, so I have an episode coming up very shortly that features the Digital Lifestyle Show co-host Gary Whitaker. He and I have been talking about getting him on the show for such a long time, and I'm so glad that I did. We have so little insight into what happens in home automation in other countries. And, you know, we've had guests from Australia and the UK and other countries say, hey, how about covering a little bit more for us? So I was thrilled to have Gary on. He talks a lot about what's going on in the UK in the home automation space. And I hope we get a chance to do more shows like this. It was really interesting. And we have some great episodes coming up too. This summer, we're going to be talking with folks from Lutron, from Ring Video Doorbell. So lots of cool stuff coming.
Awesome. Love it. All right. So you can find all of those podcasts at places like iTunes, the Zune Marketplace. We're also on Stitcher Radio and TuneIn Radio. And if you like our shows, we'd really love it if you could leave us a rating or a review. That really helps us, and we really appreciate the feedback. The other thing we really appreciate is when you show up live. We record this show live on Tuesday nights, usually around 8:30 p.m. Your best bet, of course, is just to follow us on Twitter, because we will always tweet when the show is going to be available for you to join in. There's a chat room. You can give us feedback like we had tonight. You know, part of, you know, live feedback going straight into the show to help us make an even better show for you guys. So appreciate all the people who show up for the live show. And hopefully, if you haven't been able to join us, maybe you will next week. But that's going to do it for episode 339. I'm Josh Pollard. He's Richard Gunther. And we'll be back next time for episode 340. Until then, adios.
Goodbye.